Hey girl, you feel that? That's boyfriend material. This is episode 16, Lars and the Real Girl from 2007. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Silicone.
Oh, you mean silicone?
No, that's boyfriend material. Or girlfriend material.
I normally ask you why the material you picked ties how it ties into the movie. I don't think I need to.
Can you take a wild guess at why we picked silicone for this one?
I'm going to guess because the scarf that Gosling is wearing throughout this entire movie is made of silicone. Is that right?
Well, it's a silicone sweaters, yeah.
Actually, you know, my first note of this movie, and I think this is, you know, an important thing within the scope of boyfriend material, is that opening shot of him looking out the window is like kind of the iconic won't eat his cereal where he puts the scarf over his face. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did notice that.
I was like, oh, shit, yeah. I was like, oh, that's where it's from. Like, I've seen this movie, but I didn't remember where that was from.
Yeah, exactly.
We are on a nice little run of boyfriend material here. Like, after Blue Valentine, this, and I think, from what I remember, next week's movie Fracture is pretty great, too. Him and Anthony Hopkins in a lawyer movie, like...
Yeah, I like Anthony Hopkins. I've never seen it.
It's gonna be... We're in a good little streak. I mean, not that boyfriend material so far at all has been bad, but, you know, we're in a nice little boyfriend material streak right now.
Yeah.
Because this... Did you like this movie?
I like this movie. I remember asking you while I was watching it, like, is this supposed to be a comedy?
Right. Because
it doesn't really feel like one, but I laughed a whole bunch during this movie. It's really weird in a beautiful kind of way. And, like, Ryan Gosling playing this character was great. The whole movie's just so bizarre to me, though. Sometimes I wish life existed like it did in this movie.
This is the most beautiful and kind and supportive town of people I have ever seen. Like, this entire town, like, they have, rightfully so, reservations about, you know, treating this real doll. Like, this movie is about Ryan Gosling as, like, a
hermit. Kind of.
An outcast, sort of like a self-imposed outcast, isn't great with people, lives in the garage of the house that his brother and sister-in-law live in. Which is his father's house, and it seems like, as we learn throughout the movie, that his brother moved away, sort of forced Gosling to take care of, I think, his dying father. Then his brother moved back after the father died with his new wife, who's pregnant, and, you know, Gosling has just sort of had, like, I think just, like, socially, he's sort of held back in that way. And so the movie is about him learning from a coworker that there is such a thing called, like, real dolls or sex dolls, ordering one online, falling in love with it, and starting a relationship with it.
For a small town to be as open-minded as they are, it was very, very weird.
So, and I think that they all know that they all seem to love him, and they even, you know, his sister-in-law Emily Mortimer says, you know, they're doing this because they love you. Like, they're helping her, they're helping Bianca because they love you. Like, they're doing this for him, but at the same time, they don't have, like, you know, kind of incentive other than, like, I guess this is a thing to do now. Like, this is a way that we can eat up some time in our boring small-town lives.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, not jumping ahead too much, but their reaction of, like, giving her a bunch of things to do, I wondered if they were trying to kind of separate them, you know what I mean?
But I think for sure.
Like, the less time he spends with it, the less time he can fuck it, kind of thing.
Well, because he does seem to be getting better. It just so happens that he's getting better framed within the scope of having a relationship with a doll, right?
Yeah.
Like, he does seem to be more social and more understanding and more, you know, out in society. It just, again, is because he's having a relationship with a real doll. And
yeah.
I think that their thinking is, like, if he can continue this sort of growth and not be around her, maybe he'll realize that other people are good too.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Which works.
Kind of, yeah, it kind of does.
I mean, it's minor victories, and I don't know if it's really, if it would really happen this quickly, but the movie ends with him and Margot, his coworker, who's got a big crush on him, basically starting a relationship, right? Like, that, or at least they're going to interact in the wild for the second time. Like,
yeah.
You know, they go bowling, and now at the end of the movie, at Bianca's funeral, the doll's funeral, which also, if you think about it, like, there, I guess there's a grave site in that graveyard with a doll in it. Like, that's just a thing that's going to be forever in that town.
Doll. Yeah.
You know, they're going to go on a walk at the end. And I think it worked. Like, it worked. Like, the relationship, he learned through the real girl how to deal with real people, I guess.
Yeah, that was his thing. It was like, he was using it to, like, open up to real people. I guess it worked.
This movie was nominated for one Academy Award. It was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, which makes sense. It lost to Juno, unfortunately, for this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the same year as Juno. I mean, Juno sort of changed the game in a lot of different ways. You know what I mean? Like, I like this movie, I think, more. I think this movie sort of holds up better because Juno was overly quirky, and I think it's great, but I also think that in retrospect, I don't know how many times you're going to watch that. I think this, for a weird movie, is, you know, very watchable no matter when you watch it.
Yeah, I think I could rewatch this movie. It was fun.
At least more, you know, more quickly, more often than rewatching Blue Valentine, right?
Amen, for sure. I never want to rewatch Blue Valentine ever.
I also do want to get ahead of your the question that you seem to ask most episodes. Do you think that Ryan Gosling had sex with a doll?
I was going to ask you this. Oh my God.
There's a bit of trivia on there that they ordered it without genitals. That they apparently custom ordered it so that, like, there could be no accusations that anybody, like, fucked the doll.
I think it's more so that, like, the set people didn't fuck the doll,
maybe.
Right? Like, it was probably for the best that, like, it didn't have any, because I'm sure that there's, like, one lighting guy that was like, I would have done it, you know?
For a movie about a relationship with a real doll, like, there is really little sex in this movie. Like, I think the closest thing we get to it is, you know, people joke about it, but Emily Mortimer at one point, like, picks up her skirt, like, lifts up her skirt and, like, makes this, like,
yes,
really great, wonderful face, just like, oh, boy, like, I was not expecting to see that in there.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of assumed or implied that he's maybe having sex with her, but also,
I don't
maybe
think he
not.
Does. No, because
yeah.
later, he asks his brother later what makes you
a man.
Because he doesn't see, and he keeps it slept in their house. You know what I mean?
Because she is a Christian missionary.
Yes.
She was raised by nuns, and she is very Christian, Bianca.
I like that he just comes, we'll get to it. Never mind.
But I think that's, like, a way to make what could be a very creepy movie less creepy, because, like, you think about, like, you can't not think about him having sex with it, but also they take that element out of it, right? Like, they're just like, this is about a relationship with a doll, not about, like, a fuck toy.
Yes, and because of that, then you feel weird when he goes to the party and they're like, is he fucking this thing?
Right.
You know that he's not, or probably not.
I think it helps you, like, get on his side a little bit. You know what I mean?
It does. Like, it definitely does. Because when he's, like, taking it out, it would be really creepy if you were just, like, carrying this dildo around with you or something. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
You'd be like, this is weird.
Which, I guess this would be a good detour when they, at one point in the middle of the movie, they have Gus, who is Emily Mortimer's husband, mm-hmm. Gosling's brother, looks up online. He goes to the site where he got, because he goes out to the garage, takes the packing slip off the box, and looks up the doll. And so I looked up the site, and realdoll.com still exists.
It does.
It
yes,
is a real I've... site. The Real Doll Classic. I would guess that, you know, Bianca, being as beautiful as she is, might be a higher level than just a classic. But the classic starts at $4,000.
No, they're cheaper than that. I looked it up too.
Well, the main page, I said the Real Doll Classic starts at $39.99.
No, they're like $2,000.
Well, maybe if you have like a knockoff version, I don't know. But the big takeaway that I found is that they also have the real cock on there.
What is that? I didn't see that.
It's just like a realistic, I guess, dildo.
Okay. That would make sense, I guess. They kind of go hand in hand.
Literally?
Yeah, literally, yeah.
I was thinking, you know, when we did on our Too Fast, Too Forever, the Fast and Furious podcast that we do, and I called, what was the name of that company that I called? Pro Imagination or whatever?
Yeah.
And I called it on, like, the number still exists. Like, now I have to, like, every time I see a phone number or a website in the movie, I'm like, ooh, does this still, it does.
Yeah, real dolls definitely exist. They do. I want to go on a minor tangent.
Go for it.
Did you ever watch the show My Strange Addiction?
No, but I know about it. I know sort of the premise behind it.
You know, it was like people doing weird stuff.
Yep.
There was like the girl who ate the couch, whatever, right? Like there's all of these famous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode with a guy who was addicted to my real dolls.
Okay.
His name is Dave Cat, and he has like 20 or 30 of these dolls. Well, maybe it was just one. I don't know. Maybe he has more now. But there's like a whole, like, there was like the whole thing where he was essentially doing this. And I wonder if the movie was based on that episode.
Maybe?
Like, he would like walk them around. Like,
okay.
But he didn't pretend like they were real. Like, he knew that they were just fuck dolls. He definitely like dressed them up and put them in his house and like would talk to them and stuff. But like, when he like got interviewed, he would be like, oh yeah, this is like Karen, my fuck doll, not Bianca,
right.
A real person. Like, we
yeah.
didn't have to pretend like she was real. And I'm really, really wondering if he is the inspiration for this movie.
I bet there's probably a bunch. Like, do you watch High Maintenance?
No. What is that?
It started as a web series about a weed delivery guy in New York City,
okay.
And now became an HBO show. It is really genuinely kind of incredible because it's closer to a story about New York as a city and like the actual like what it's like to live in New York than anything else that's on TV.
Okay.
And so it's less about the weed delivery guy. It's more about like little sort of like little stories, little anecdotes about people who live in the city. But anyway.
Yeah, but you're getting like small vignettes of characters that
yes.
live in the city, which
and
makes
they all
sense.
Just sort of tie, like they all either like pass the guy or they all like get weed from the guy or whatever. Like
yeah.
they all run into him at one point or another. It's great.
Yeah.
But there was an episode, I think this past season or maybe I think it was this past season. Rosie Perez, has a real doll, but a baby. Like, she can't have a baby, and so she gets a real doll baby, puts it in a stroller, and brings it around, and, like, it's sort of the world dealing with her. She says to her husband, stay outside with the baby, I'm gonna go inside and get this. She can't find it or whatever. He goes in and leaves the baby outside, and like, there's this whole, like, hubbub about, like, oh my god, they left the baby unattended, and, like, cops show up, and they're like, oh, this is just a doll. And it's like, everybody's filming on their phone, and, like, giving her shit, and like, they're making fun of her because they don't understand it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like that and this movie and, like, a lot of things are probably based on a lot of just, like, the very real connections that people place with dolls or with, you know, baby dolls or whatever. You know what I mean? Just, like, because it's not what I do. But if it's a way for you to cope
with... You sure?
I'm pretty sure. It's not 100% sure. I was also thinking, like, if I had... Like, if we were, like, wealthy, like, would I have bought one just to sort of have one? Probably not. Like, I don't know.
It would depend on, like, what my living situation was like, right? Like, if I had, like, a bachelor pad and roommates and we were all rich, I would, like, keep one in the living room because I think that would be hilarious, like, as a joke. If I was, like, living alone, I probably wouldn't have one because it would just be so creepy.
What about, like, with Rachel? Like, if you were rich enough that you could spend $4,000 and not feel it, would you buy one?
I think that Rachel would be so mad. She, like, won't even let me get tramp stamp tattoos like I want, so I think that she would ban it. She would be like, you're fucking weird. Like, I told you about my ideas that, like, I want, like, yin-yang tribal symbol tattoos and stuff, and she's just like, absolutely not.
Just because she doesn't want to see that every day?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A very well put and exactly along those lines. Like, she'd be like, I don't want to see this thing.
Well, I mean, I think I agree with Rachel. Like, it's just your body, your choice, but also my eyes, I get a say in things.
Yeah, if she was, like, here, she would be like, get this the fuck out of my house. That's what I'm saying. Like, if I had, like, six roommates and it was, like, a bro den, you could, like, leave this thing in the living room. That would be hilarious, right? Because, like, people would come in and be like, what's that? I'd be like, oh, shit. And then you, like, pretend to, like, cover it up, like, put, like, a blanket over it or something.
Yeah.
Like, I think that this would just creep people out enough that it's, like, right up my alley that people would be like, what is that? Be like, never mind. Like,
well, you know, it's just Bianca.
Yeah, Bianca. Steve must have left Bianca out again. God damn it, Steve.
Yeah.
Like, let me go put him in his put her in his room, and then you, like, go, like, set it up in your roommate's room. Like, it would just be like, how could we leave this out to, like, you know, like, you bring a girl home, and then she, you just see this thing on the couch, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, god damn it, my roommate's again. You'd be like, is this yours? Is it there? Well, it's, like, all of ours.
It's our collective doll. It's our doll.
Then she's like, what? And you know what I mean? Like, you have to explain it, and it'd be like, god damn it. Or, you, like, I would just be, like, in the middle of cleaning it, just, like, cleaning out the, like, the vagina with, like, a bottle brush, like, in the middle of the kitchen, mm-hmm. right? See, I can imagine a lot of fun things that you could do with this that you can't do if you were the only person in your house. Like, you need, like, a crew of people that are in on this joke.
Well, I'm pretty sure, and I don't have this, I just heard this from the internet, basically, is that I think that the, like, Fleshlight encourages you to wash it out in the dishwasher with hot water. And, like, well, I don't want to put that in my dishwasher. Like,
why not?
Because it's like, it's filled at one point with cum.
Yeah. Okay, so this is, like, the lab experience that I have. If you wash anything with hot water and soap, like, it's fine. Like, it's not like you're leaving, like, residue in your dishwasher. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but still...
Like, do you get, like, nervous about washing towels in, like, the clothes washer?
No, but I wash towels on a separate load. Not for that reason.
Okay.
But just, I wash them separately. But I also...
Sure.
I don't have, like, a dishwasher full of... Fleshlights that I'm washing at the same time and having, like, a separate cycle for, like, dishes and plates and
cups. I would definitely wash it alone if I had one. It would get a solo wash. Like, it wouldn't go with plates. I wouldn't be scared to do it.
Okay.
It's gonna be hot. Like, you know what I mean? You're washing with hot water.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to put the whole real doll in the dishwasher. Just, like, shove the whole thing in there.
We had a freaky time last night, Bianca, and I gotta watch, because they give her a bath in this movie.
And they do, which is so strange. I agree.
We gotta watch all of you, because last night was never again, Bianca. Last night was too much.
Yeah. Just, like, cover. Oh, God.
Boy, oh, boy. But, yeah, so, I mean, our normal boyfriend material sort of run-through of the movie we'll go through in terms of most and least boyfriend material moments, and I do think this is going to be the weirdest one that we do just because of the nature of the movie.
Yeah.
Because he's being a pretty good boyfriend to this doll.
He is.
It's a doll.
It is, yeah. But, I mean, you could love whatever you love, man.
I agree.
It's whatever you're into.
The movie kicks off, and we sort of know that he's a nice guy. He's sort of like a little bit of a loner, kind of a weirdo guy, but...
He's harmless.
His sister-in-law, Emily Mortimer, comes over to, like, basically be like, hey, come have dinner with us. We don't know, like, it's sort of teaching us that she's pregnant, but he takes the scarf off, the famous won't-eat-a-cereal scarf, and gives it to her, and he's like, keep the baby warm. It's like, oh, like, he's a sweet guy, you know what I mean?
He is a sweet guy, yeah.
I thought that was a low-key nominee for most boyfriend material moment, because, like,
cool. Okay.
I don't need this. Even the baby need this.
Yeah.
But we also see then at church, because he's like, I can't come over, I gotta go to church. And he goes to church, but he's just like playing with toys in church. That sort of felt out of character for him, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he like wanted to go to church. I don't think that he's into the church scene, and I think that they kind of like drug him there.
He's into it more later when Bianca is there. Spoiler, she goes to church. Not the church thing, but I feel like the playing with the toys doesn't really quite fit in, because his cubicle mate at work.
The action figures.
Right. But it just feels like...
Goss wouldn't be into this.
Yeah.
I think it's just showing you the Arrested Development, but I agree with you. It's kind of out of character for him. It's the segue to lead him to, like, to lead you to believe that he buys this fucking real doll, right?
That toys are a part of his life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It plays for the movie, but I agree. It's like, doesn't necessarily need to be.
I don't know enough about, and like, this could be sort of any number of diagnoses. Like, I don't know if he's supposed to be, like, autistic. I don't know if he's supposed to be developmentally stunted. Like, I don't know what he's dealing with. He's something,
okay,
you know,
yeah.
But it just kind of sort of feels like a character trait that doesn't quite, you know, line up, I guess? I don't know.
No, I think that he's just, like, stuck as a child. And that's, okay. Like, part of the deal. And he's, like, a loner child. And because that's the whole play of the movie, right? His brother's like, I left you here. I should have taken you with me. Dad was too sad. Like, all of these things. He's like, I should have taken care of you and gotten you out of here. And, like, he knows that he's fucked up now because he didn't take him out.
We go to work and we see his work situation. I don't think we know what he does. Do we get a sense of what his company does?
It says it on the building outside, but I forget what it is. I don't remember what he actually does. He just works in a cubicle. He has an office job.
With a gigantic old-school monitor.
This movie's so weird because it feels like it's supposed to be set now, right? Because there's real dolls, obviously internet and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like also set in the 80s because they all dress like the 80s. And like he has action figures and like they go bowling and like the clothes, the glasses, everything about it feels like very like mid-90s kind of.
I wonder if that's, and I think that's something that we have noticed either on podcasts that you and I have done or that I've done with Mike. That's sort of sometimes just what small-town America is like. Not stuck in the past, but like you don't have the kind of the modern conveniences.
Yeah, but like do you just never buy a new monitor at work? But like what are you gonna do, like old sweaters and shit? It's just weird, you know, to see like two kind of converging decades at once. Maybe
part
of the deal, like the juxtaposition of it, right? Like
yeah,
you fuck dolls and you know, you're wearing old sweaters, so.
I think this movie really couldn't exist in a much more modern society, because I feel like if you have everybody, like, with smartphones and stuff, like, you would have kind of the element of, like...
Snapchatting pictures of Bianca everywhere.
Like, you could probably make this movie today, but I think it'd be a different kind of story, right? Like, where she'd be kind of, you know, their relationship becomes, like, a
viral sensation. Maybe she's an Instagram model.
Yes.
Yeah, she becomes, like, an internet personality. She has a page. She has a Facebook, what is it? Like, celebrity, what is it? An like icon.
A fan page or whatever?
Yeah, she has a Facebook fan page, and everybody would be like, Bianca's here.
We live in a world in which Calvin Klein and stuff are using, like, AI-generated models. Like, it's not crazy to think that, like, a doll could then sort of also be, like, this you know, world-famous fashion model or whatever, you know what I mean?
Maybe we need to do that, dude.
How to make money on Patreon? Is just to have a doll fashion model?
Let's do it. And we could start, like, a whole conversation. We could be, like, the woke topic of the week. Be like, is she a real model?
Mm.
And, like, should she have models' rights? Can she join the model union or something? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let's fight all these battles. Let's see how it works.
There's no one better for that job than you and me.
Two straight white guys.
Yep. Go to work. We don't know exactly what he does, but we know that he's got this kind of another fellow loner cubicle mate. He's also got this, I guess she's a new girl at work, maybe, Margot?
I don't think she's new, but yeah.
I kind of got the sense, I wasn't sure, but I kind of got the sense that she was, but maybe not.
Newer than them, I think.
There's also the other guy that, or maybe they, I don't know, maybe Gosling's new, I'm not sure, but she's clearly got a crush on him, because, I mean, why wouldn't you? He just kind of rebuffs her, because he's not just that he doesn't like her, he just, I guess, doesn't like people.
Yeah, he doesn't like people in general.
And I feel like this is sort of a stretch of the movie, like, before Bianca comes into his life, it's a series of, like, low-key, least boyfriend material moments where, like, he just says no to her, literally runs away from Emily Mortimer and his brother, because all they want to do is, you know, have dinner with him, and he's just like, I can't.
I hate people. Yeah. Yeah. But he takes, like, a weird turn. So, like, I don't think that he's really being not boyfriendy in the beginning. I think he's just, like, a loner and hates people. If I could get to the point of that level of weirdness in my own head, I think that I would be much like that, because I, too, hate people.
Yeah.
And, like, dealing with people. So, like, if there's times where I could just, like, see somebody and just run from them and not be self-aware enough to be, like, nervous about what they would think of that, then I would do this all the time. Just, like, see them and be like, ah, and just run.
Like, I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah.
We get this, like, really kind of sweet, like, you know, like, in action movies, they have, like, the gearing up montage where, like, guys, you know, load their guns and you check their ammo and,
yeah,
you know, stock up or whatever. And we kind of have that, in a way, the gearing up montage, but it's him getting ready for Bianca. And it's, like, you know, he's brushing his teeth.
Well, she's already there because, yeah, so, like, he's just waiting to unbox it because it arrives. The brother, like, the sister-in-law says, "You got a big package today. We put it in the garage for you." And he's like, yes. And he's just stoked.
And the way that he answers the phone at work, he just looks so, like, it's the first time he, like, looks happy the entire movie. He's just like, oh, yeah, like, this, like, my future is here. You know what I mean? Like, this is the rest of my life starts today.
Yeah, exactly. And so he goes home, gets himself cleaned up so he can meet her. And he, like, looks in the mirror and is like, this is a nice sweater.
Yeah.
And I really like that moment of Gosling looking in the mirror, telling himself that his shitty sweater was really nice.
Yeah. He just gets up and then, you know, he goes to the main house. And he's like, you know, and I was wondering, you know, the one line that I was waiting here is like, why is she over there and not here? But, you know, he goes to the main house and says, you know, I have a visitor. She's a lady.
Yeah.
I'd really like you to meet her, but I also want to make sure that, like, she doesn't want to stay with me because she's very religious and, you know, we have a small place over there and, you know, is it okay if she stays in the big house? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, like, we've been waiting for this. Like,
yeah, you have a girlfriend. You have an internet girlfriend. This is awesome.
And then we cut to them all in the living room. And before we even see, like, we still haven't seen Bianca. And we just see their faces just staring at her. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's perfect. What I want to know is, like, how can you get to the logical point where he just totally skips? I can't relate in the sense that how would you just be like, you know what? I'm not going to explain this to them. I'm just going to pretend like it's real.
Because to him, and they also say this in the movie, like, it is real to him. Like, she's real. She's there. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
He gives him, like, an almost primer, though. You know what I mean? He's like, look, she doesn't talk very much.
She doesn't speak much English.
She doesn't speak much English.
She's in a wheelchair.
She's in a wheelchair. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, he's cognizant of the, like, the limitations, right? Like, he knows. And then he's like, they stole her wheelchair. She doesn't have any clothes. You know enough to, like, kind of primer them. But then you bring it in and you're just like, here we go. This is Bianca.
They're like, oh, this is not going to fly. And, you know, they put her to bed. And then Emily Mortimer has the idea, like, let's bring her to the doctor, because she's had a traumatic thing, like, she just moved here. Let's see, well, let's make sure, like, let's get her checkup, let's make sure she's good. And he's like, you know, like, I think that's a great idea. And, like, I don't think if he was aware or worried about people would react as a doll, he would be like, no, I don't think she needs to go. But, like, he doesn't put up a fight at all. Like, I think...
He does, because he looks at his brother. He's like, do you think this is a good idea? And his brother's like, yeah, I think it's a really good idea. He's like, okay, then, we'll go to the doctors anyways. Like, he's nervous about it.
Maybe I read that as just, like, he doesn't know how to make decisions. And, like, if his brother, you know, his brother has led this life, and, like, if his brother thinks it's a good idea, like, he's okay with it. Like, you know, it's kind of a big decision for him to make about this woman that he just met. Should I bring her to the doctor? I don't know.
No, it seemed like he was kind of nervous about it. And he also seems to know that, like, it was about him. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's obviously, this is a movie, and if somebody had some kind of belief this inanimate object was real, that's a different situation. But Gosling in this movie seems to be playing a little dumb for me. Like, he knows.
I just have to give him the benefit of the doubt, I think. I think that he probably knows, but to him, this is as real of a relationship
as he'll
ever have.
I think he's suppressing it, and you see parts of it come out sometimes that he's like, he knows that what he's doing is nuts and for attention.
I don't think it's for attention, because I don't think he wants attention.
I think
he wants love.
Fair. That's just a
And I think this is the closest thing he can have to love. And I think that he found a way to get through the day, like, to have something to look forward to. I don't think he's doing it because he's like, if he wanted the attention, like, he already has the attention. Like, he has a girl at work who likes him. His sister-in-law and his brother are there for him. They want him to be part of the family. He doesn't want that. I think what he just wants is, like, sort of love and a relationship on his terms.
That's
and
fair.
The way that he gets that is through the doll. And I don't think he's trying to, like, act as anything that it's not. I think he's just like, this is what works.
Because if he really just wanted that, he wouldn't do stuff like bring it to the fucking Christmas party.
But at the same time, like, if she's your girlfriend, and, you know, you probably talk about her at work and everything like that, you're gonna bring her to the party.
I guess. I don't know. You could equally do the, like, oh, she doesn't feel well tonight, and, like, she stayed home, or be like, she came to the party. But I don't know, man. To me, I just feel like he knows a little bit too much. Like, he knows.
I don't know. I don't think so. And I think we're going to have to just have to agree to disagree here.
Yeah, that's
like,
fine.
You know, as we're recording this, we're watching separately Stranger Things. Dustin comes home, and he's like, oh, I met this girl at camp, and she's, you know, hotter than Phoebe Cates, and she's brilliant. And, you know, spoiler for the first four episodes, we still haven't met her, though. Like, she, okay. Like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, yes, she exists, quote-unquote exists, she's real to him, but she also might not be real. And I feel like that's the risk you kind of run. Like, if you're aware enough of, like, yeah, she just can't make it to the party, she's not feeling well, people are going to be like, well, you know, this guy's kind of like a weirdo loner. He's talking about this girlfriend. We've never met her. I don't know if she exists. You know what I mean? So I feel like
yeah.
It's kind of a tricky situation either way, right? Like, it's like, do I lie and say she's sick, or do I just bring her because she is his girlfriend?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's a tricky boyfriend material moment. But what I do like is that after, you know, he brings her to the house, to Karen and Gus's house, and they leave the room because she's just like, you need to help me in the kitchen. Gosling turns to Bianca. She's like, are you doing okay? Like, he just checks in with her. And, like, yeah. I think that's so sweet.
Yeah, it is. It is. He's, like, he's really into it. Like, he definitely, yeah, like, when nobody else is around, he's like, hey, is everything cool?
Well, then bringing Bianca to the doctor the next day, he's kind of giving her, like, an oral history of the town. Like, you know, that's where I grew up. That's where I went there. That's what I did this. Like, that's sweet, too. Like, you know, whatever reason he's doing it for, whether he, you know, wants attention or just, like, this is the way that he connects with people, it would be really easy, especially in a car with your brother and your sister-in-law, to just sort of, you know, have silent conversations, just, like, think about what you'd say to her. But he's actually, like, talking it out. Like, it's just, like, it's a tender moment.
Yeah, it's him opening up, too. I think, yeah, that's why I think that, like, he knows that he needs a vehicle to be able to deal with people better. And that I think that he is smart enough that he uses this outlet to be his talking point. The same way that, like, you'd practice English with, like, somebody online or something, right? It's, like, harmless, and you can't really, like, get in trouble with it. Like, I think it's more of just practicing dealing with people, and that's
gotcha.
That's why I think that he knows that, like, he instigated this himself. It's not like he, like, found this thing, and he's not trying to hook up with it, and I think that he does have, like, a relationship with it, but I think that it was mostly, like, to open himself up.
Maybe that is true, because, you know, one of the first scenes of the movie, when he's at work, right, and his pervy cubicle mate is like, oh, check, he's got to show you something, and Gosling's like, I really don't want to look at porn right now, and he's like, it's not porn, well, actually, it is porn, and he shows him the real doll, and, like, this guy's looking at it like, I want to fuck this thing, like, I can't have a girlfriend or whatever, I won't have a girlfriend, but this thing, like, I would fuck all day long, and Gosling might look at that and be like, oh, that's, like, a way for me to, like, sort of, I guess, like, what you're saying, practice being in a relationship with.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess at the same time, maybe it's easier to look at a doll that looks like a person and do that, but, like, couldn't you do that in theory, like, with a toothbrush or, like, a
mirror?
Like,
yeah,
anything, right? Like, you're turning something that's not real into something that's real. Maybe it's easier when they look like a person, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Or you could just, you know, use AIM chat rooms or something. Who knows?
ASL?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe my nominee for, I mean, again, this is just not necessarily the sweetest thing he does, but the most Gosling thing he does is when he brings her to the woods and then, like, climbs up that treehouse and sings Frank Sinatra's L-O-V-E to her. That is super sweet and super cute.
Yeah, I think so, too. When he's just, like, singing to her in the woods at the treehouse or, like, the whatever, it's really awesome. And I like that he gives her a piggyback ride into the forest because he can't take the wheelchair in there. It was just, like, there's so many great things that, like, I would have loved to have been on set just to see Ryan Gosling do. Be like, okay, just, like, try to get this thing in the woods now. And he's like, fuck, I'm gonna have to piggyback it. Like,
so one of the coolest little bits of trivia is that they said to help him stay in character because he's acting, you know, this is in a sense like what, you know, a lot of modern big CGI movies are, where, like, you're acting across the screen from a tennis ball, right? Like,
exactly,
you know,
yeah.
Groot is going to be there. You're talking to Groot, but you're a person. You're obviously not talking to a little walking around tree, but he's there, and you're going to pretend he's there. A lot of the scenes, it's just himself, but he's having these full-on conversations. And they said to help him stay in character, they treated her like she was a real actress. Like, they had her own dressing room, like, she did hair and makeup and hair.
Oh, God.
That she wasn't on set. Like, they didn't just, like, leave her in a chair, but, like, when she was on set, she would be on set, but, like, when she didn't have a scene to shoot, she wasn't around. So, like, she was, I mean, she's a doll, but she's also, like, only there when if there was an actual woman in that role, she would have been there.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's not like they just like leave her lying around or like leave her like laying over or whatever.
Yeah, because I can imagine you just chuck this thing in like the back of a truck somewhere or something, right? Like,
and I'm not saying that they didn't, but I'm just saying that, you know.
For him, they made it seem like she was only an actress that was there when she needed to be there.
If you're going
to
make a movie like this, you got to kind of be aware of that, right?
You got to go all in, man. There's no half-ass in this. I agree.
No more half measures, Walter.
Yep.
Kind of the understated MVP of this movie is Patricia Clarkson as the doctor. She is incredible in this movie.
She's great. I like the sister-in-law, too, but the doctor's great.
There's like a sort of a mixed boyfriend material moment where like Gosling is telling like he's worried about her. He's in, on one hand, he's sort of talking a little bit of shit about Bianca, but he's also like kind of just doing it because he's worried about her and like wants, you know, professional's opinion. He's like saying, you know, she's wonderful, but between us, you know, I'm worried about her. I think she's got a problem. I think because she's insecure, but she isn't always trying to hug everybody. Oh, wait, sorry. This is not about Bianca. This is about the sister. The doctor, like, she's a medical doctor, but she's sort of acting like a psychiatrist here, right?
Because she is a psychiatrist. She, like, she has, like, some kind of training in psychiatry.
Oh, okay.
They say that in the beginning. They're like, well, you know, she has, like, that psychiatry degree, too, or something.
Okay, good. I missed that, but that makes me feel better about this.
That's why the brother specifically takes her there. Okay. And that's why they always get that doctor, too. Right? Because they're like, she knows about this, and that's why she's always commenting on, like, the mental health part of it.
She asks about Gus and Karen, right? He says, you know, like, I love her, she's wonderful, but I think she's insecure because she wants to hug all the time. And he's kind of, I guess he's just being honest and open in, and maybe this isn't most Orly's boyfriend moment, but, like, he just sort of, like, talking, like, instead of, you know, saying to her, like, I don't want to be touched, I don't want, it's not you, it's me, he's gonna be like, you know, she's insecure, she needs to hug all the time, I don't like it, and then this when we find out that, you know, he's got some kind of mental, it hurts to touch people.
Yes, I think that this was someone who isn't me type thing, as he goes to the doctor and he's like, she has a problem.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, what's the problem? He's like, she's insecure, she just wants to hug all the time. And the doctor's like, well, that's not bad. And then he's like, but it hurts when you hug people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was trying to, you were seeing that as he now has a relationship with the doll, that he's opening up about himself. He can't do it completely yet. He has to do it as, you know, an avenue through something else.
Right.
Which is, like, you know, symbolic for the doll. But that's how I was reading it. That we're slowly opening him up. Mm-hmm. By, you know, and this was like one of the things that he was saying.
They probably wanted him to go to a psychiatrist or psychologist for a while, right? And like,
yeah,
maybe
probably.
Since the dad died or even before that, and he wouldn't or he didn't or they didn't know how to do it. But then this is the avenue to that. And like, it's, you know, he's not only growing himself by having the doll, but he's also, like, people are able to help him grow because of the opportunities that Bianca sort of provided, that he's opened the door to self-help and they're helping him, you know, go through it.
Exactly. That's what I think is going on.
And then there's the party scene, which is really kind of sweet. And, you know, apparently him walking Bianca into the party and saying, you know, like, people, like, the, it's biologically proven that people's favorite word is their name. And just if you're not sure, just say their names a lot, which obviously she's not going
to
do.
This is another thing where I think he's talking to himself, right? He's just gearing himself up. Like, he's giving himself advice by way of giving her advice in his head.
What if, and I was just thinking about this, and it's not because that's not what this movie is, but, like, what if this was a Fight Club? It's basically a Fight Club situation.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Like, what
it
if
is.
We had cut back and seen that there was never a doll? Ooh. That it's just like, he's just like, oh, she's right next to me. Like, can't you see her?
And it was just an imaginary friend.
Because to the world, it's essentially the same thing, right? Like, it's something that's real to him and not real to anybody else.
Yeah, it is.
So I kind of like that reading of it, you know, you saying that he's talking to himself, you know, going to the party.
He is, all of these things to me.
He could literally be talking to himself, that he's, you know, not talking to a doll, but, like, there's nothing else there.
Yeah, I mean, well, the movie, like, obviously isn't Fight Club, so it frames it a little bit differently, and they, mm-hmm. like, ask her about her hair, and, like, somebody else, like, takes her with them and stuff like that, but, yeah, it could play a lot like the Fight Club situation.
But also, you think about, like, you know, ask her about her hair or whatever, like, that could just be, like, what people, like, you know, if you're making small talk, and, like, you're, like, the one woman's a hairdresser or whatever, like, I show up to your house, I'm like, hey, I'm bringing my girlfriend up, you're like, cool, we're looking forward to meeting her, and, like, I walk in, like, here she is.
And you bring, like, an empty wheelchair, just, like...
Just an empty wheelchair, you person might be like, oh, hey, like, you know, like, what kind of beer you like? Do you like, you know, what, they just like, because you're trying to connect, like, you're just trying to play along. You know, they're talking about her hair because, yeah. like, you're seeing the hair, but I think you just start talking about, like, whatever you would be talking about, like, just somebody you never met before.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you like sports or whatever. I don't know, like, I think that's a kind of a weird, different reading of the movie. I don't think that's not right, but I always sort of like that, could that be the case, I guess.
Yeah, it works. I get it.
Again, talking to himself about it, but, like, on the ride home from the party, decompressing with her. as they ride home and just sort of like, you know, recapping like what they did, like the things that they learned and, you know, the good time that they had and everything like that. Like, I think that was kind of sweet too.
That's what he needs, man. He needs he needs somebody to just to soundboard on, right?
Yeah. One of my favorite shots in this movie that was at that party where the receptionist is like the most like loving, like, I mean, everybody in this town is like loving and super kind and everything, but like she like really,
what
does
she
is
call
invested.
Him? Mr. Sunshine or something?
Mr. Sunshine.
Which is hilarious, right? Because we get to remember the Titans soon.
Ooh.
Did you?
Yeah, forgot
well,
about
he's
that.
Not Sunshine, but there is Sunshine in Remember the Titans. So,
we will get there before too long. That's like 6 years before this. I love, like, she's a great character because she's just, like, so invested in him finding a relationship and being happy because, like, he's kind and sweet and everything and, you know.
And her husband is great, too.
Her husband dancing with, my favorite shot is her husband dancing with Bianca in the wheelchair, like, just sort of spinning her around in slow-mo and Gosling, like, sort of slow dancing by himself. Like, it's just so sweet.
It is. That's the part of this movie that this is the suspension of belief that I can't get over in the movie, is that nobody there is like, you fucking weirdo.
I think they are. I think the movie is sort of showing the best case, because like when he goes over to get another drink and he's there with his like his cubicle mate and the other guy, they're kind of like they're
getting
to the line that you shouldn't cross.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, as a person that grew up with like a bunch of blue collar people, like, this wouldn't fly. Like, I don't care if you sent a memo out or anything like that. Like, they would just be like, who's this fucking weird, like, you know what I mean? Like, why'd you bring the doll? Like, it would just happen. I know it would happen. Like, I know, like, my family, they would say, like, you know what I mean? They couldn't even pretend for you. They would just be like, what the fuck is this doll doing here?
I think that this movie makes a very specific choice to, like, show the best in people. Like, it could
be. I agree.
Yeah. Like, it could very easily do that kind of movie, and, like, there could be a scene where, like, he has to deal with the fallout of, like, of course she's real, like, whatever, and, like, her arm falls off. You know what I mean? Like, there could be, like, you've seen that in a bunch of movies, but I think that, like, something we have not really seen is where a town just sort of rallies together around what's very clearly not real because they love one of its residents so much. Like, I think that's a kind of a very special story that we haven't seen before.
I think I'm just too cynical to believe.
I totally get where you're coming from.
Yeah, like it's like I love it, and it's such a beautiful, like, sweet town to do this, but I don't think it could happen in reality. Like, maybe like the brother and sister, maybe the doctor, but like I think like a large majority, like maybe the one lady that like is from church, you know, maybe she's cool with it. Beyond that, I think a lot of people would be like, this is fucking weird. And, like, he would get, like, harassed in the street all the time. You know what I mean?
Yep. I think it's also, like, it might be that it's so weird that people are just like, you know, it also could be, you know, sort of the Minnesota nice kind of thing. Like, I don't know. Do we know what state this takes place in? Is it? It's up north somewhere.
I feel like it's Minnesota, right?
Okay.
I was going to say Vermont, even.
There's that thing called, like, Minnesota nice, where people are outwardly nice to you, but they're saying nice things that are also insults. And that could be, you know, essentially what, like, he doesn't know how to read the context or whatever. I don't know. But like, it feels like it's so weird that, like, when he's pulling her out of church and, you know, wheeling her out of church or whatever, that people are like, I can't even make a joke right now because I don't know. My brain won't process what I'm seeing.
What if, even to take your Fight Club theory one step further, that this is, like, all of, like a dream sequence, like, where he just sits in the house and he looks out the window and is imagining
and
this
he's
happening.
The one in the wheelchair.
Oh, he's a Colombian missionary that doesn't speak English, just looking out the window.
Or he's maybe a real doll just looking for a real boy.
Maybe, who knows?
So the town, I think, as you said before, starts to, like, you know, this woman at the mall is like, I want to hire, like, she wants to get a part-time job. And somebody's like, you know, she wants to volunteer at the hospital. And they're, you know, separating him from her.
I wish, I wish that we would see if this was the sister or the town. Because I think that that's a very important part of the movie. And I'm sad that they don't tell you if it's, like, the town and the doctor or the sister or something. Like, who's encouraging this, like, the separation? Because I think that's a really big factor in this.
There's, like, the church group meeting, right? Where it's, like, the minister or the priest or whatever. And then there's the brother and sister. And then there's, like, townsfolk, and there's the one lady who's like, oh yeah, like, we're gonna do this because he's a sweet boy and she's the one who takes charge. But it feels like, and I think you're right, that there's more of those meetings, like town-wide meetings, that Gosling's just not at. They're like, okay, here's what we're gonna do. Or if it's just, you know, subtly, like, you know, the sister going around and being like, hey, let's try to do this.
Yeah, let's try to split it up a little bit. Because she seems so supportive outwardly to him. Mm-hmm. And the movie's, like, from pretty much his perspective, right? Mm-hmm. I would like to see if she was the one who's trying to split them up. And then she says, like, you know, we all do this because we love you. She's so popular because we love you.
Right.
And I wonder if she was instigating this or if they came together and were like, we need to get them away from each other, or, like, what was going on. I would like to know the background of it.
But as Bianca is becoming more popular and sort of having more things to do and spending more time away from Gosling, he has maybe the nominee or one of the big nominees for the least boyfriend material moment. She stands him up, like he's supposed to play Scrabble with her, and she's like, can you imagine playing Scrabble against a real doll? There's a lot of things that I could in theory imagine, like, you know, like watching TV with them or, you know,
chess.
What I mean? But like playing a game like that, like Scrabble or chess, like against somebody who like cannot move.
Well,
like,
you weren't. Dude, were you never like an only child? You know, your sister's older, right?
No, my sister's younger.
How much younger?
3 years.
Okay, so yeah, you didn't have this period of time where, like, I grew up when, like, my sister's 7 years younger. So you have that period where, like, you're a real person. Or, like, you can, like, at least think. And I would have, like, games and stuff, and, like, nobody would be there to play them with me because she's too young to play them. And I would just play two characters on the same game. So I'm imagining
Scrabble?
It's like that. I don't know. You're an adult. So, like, it's the same thing. It's like, what's the difference between Chutes and Ladders and Scrabble? Like, I mean, it's still a game that you play with two people that shouldn't be played. Yeah, it's the same thing. So I don't see this. But it is funny, though. Yeah, can you imagine being like, oh, Bianca, you don't know English at all. You suck, you know? Like, you just talk shit to her the whole time. Like, that's not a word, you know? Like,
but she stands him up because she was doing something else, and he gets mad.
She's got the ball.
They have a fight. It kind of really rattles the brother and sister. They're just like, I guess this is new.
This is why I want to know if she was involved in it, because maybe it's like it's new because their plan is working, or it's new, this is something new and weird, or like what, you know what I mean? Because if they were instigating her going places, they're like, oh shit, it's working. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
They had a fight.
On the lowest level, the barest level or whatever, the goal is just for him to grow and for him to... You know,
yeah.
Sort of become more in tune with maybe just his emotions, and the fact that he's showing anger maybe for the first time ever, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, if you have to deal with this, you know, traumatic event, like, you know, a dying parent, and you're not emotionally equipped, like, you might just clam up and go into a ball and, like, just not show any emotions. So the fact that he's showing, like, affection and now this anger for the first time, like, it is working. Like, whatever the plan is, it's working.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I think that once he comes over and he's so willing to be with them when the doll's
mm-hmm.
there, they're like, okay, if we could just separate the doll from this, we can keep... Like, he obviously can do it, right? They
right.
showed that,
yep.
like, he's not incapable of coming and hanging out and talking with them. But he just needs the doll as, like, a conduit for it.
Yeah.
And, like, if they can just remove the doll, then he would be, like, a normal person then. Or, like, more normal, so.
Yeah. We don't know, and I don't know that it's super important, but I wonder how much before the movie started, if they were, like, I wonder if he's permanently broken. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder
yes.
if he even has the emotional capacity.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And then when they're, like, oh, he did this on his own, like, he's still in there, essentially, right? Like, he's...
Yep. Exactly.
Still in there, and we can sort of save him, or we can help him, or whatever.
So they have the fight.
You know, he has the heart-to-heart with her. He's crying, which we'll get to that later when we do the awards. I think there's actually some pretty good crying in this movie. The big thing, I think the next big thing, he goes to the doctor. Like, he goes to the psychiatrist's office or whatever, the hospital or the doctor's office.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I asked Bianca to marry me. The doctor, like, just assuming, he's like, oh, God, congratulations. Like, that's so wonderful. And then he's like, oh, she said no. And
yes.
then she's like, oh, feel sorry. Then she's like, wait a minute, like, what, I think she sort of, like, forgot what it was for a second.
No, it's just, like, it's a big moment, because everything that he's doing is through her, right? So if he says, like, oh, she said no to marrying me, that means that he knows that he can't marry the doll, because he can
mm-hmm.
make it do whatever he wants, right? So,
yeah,
so he's like, no, I don't know.
But then I think that there was a very Ryan Gosling moment where he, like, he pumps his fist at the sky, and he's just like, yeah, I know, I couldn't believe it. And he's just like, it's just like a little acting thing that I feel like, you know, I've been Shanghai'd, like, just
yeah.
that whole, like, I can't believe the world is against me kind of moment.
Yeah, I agree.
That's growth. It's a wrench, an interesting development. And that's when, you know, we mentioned earlier, he has the conversation with Gus about, like, how do you know when you were a man? But then we have what might be one of the sweetest things in the movie. And this is something that Ryan Gosling improvised when he goes to work. And he's sort of like, this is a point where, like, it starts to feel like his future is not with Bianca, right? Like,
yes.
You know, she's not going to marry him. He's still not maybe what he was, but he's more social. He's more developed. He's more in touch with his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to work, and we find out that Margot, the guy that Margot had been dating, the coworker, she broke up with him because, like, it didn't feel like she wasn't having fun. She didn't understand it or whatever.
Yeah, she said she wanted somebody more interesting. He's not interesting.
There's no one more interesting than someone who's dating a real doll. Gosling's pervy coworker and Margot have been having this, like, prank war where she
yes.
steals his action figures, and then he's been threatening this teddy bear. And so his pervy coworker ties a noose and puts it around the teddy bear's neck, and, like, it's very clearly devastating to Margot. Like, you know, everybody has the things that get them through the day. Like, you know, his pervy coworker has porn and these action figures, and Margot
yeah.
has her teddy bear. And this movie, you know, makes everything seem real and genuine, and, like, don't... Like, basically, don't throw shade at anybody who, like, anything that gets you through, like, this terrible world is not that bad, as long as they're not, like, hurting other people.
Yeah.
They sit down in the break room, and then Gosling improvised that he performed CPR on the bear, and, like, it's so cute. It's so sweet.
It is, because he's, like, giving her, that's kind of her real doll then, right? Like, he's like, I'm gonna treat this as if this is real, because it means something to you, and it's, like, reciprocal to be, like, I appreciate you pretending that Bianca's real, is how I read it.
You know, in a way that, like, people doing things to Bianca are sort of giving life to Gosling, I feel like, in a way, in a very maybe too deep reading, he's kind of bringing life back to Margot. Like, she's in this sort of dark place that we don't really see, but, you know, she just broke up with her boyfriend. It seems like, again, not to judge people, but it seems like she probably hasn't had a ton of relationships, and, you know, she's probably in a dark place, and then he brings new life to her by saying, like, oh, like, you know, it's gonna be okay, like, we can get through this together.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that might be the most boyfriend with John moment, because, like, there's a lot of sweet things he does with Bianca, but to an actual person, like, that's a, you know, a really nice thing.
Then she's like, hey, do you want to hang out with me?
Well, she asked, like, if he and Bianca want to hang out with her.
Yes, he said, we should all hang out together. And this is where, like, we really see Goss turn. He goes, well, she has this, she's on the school board, which is incredible.
She was voted into the school board.
Which, that makes, that just, in the world of Betsy Devos, Bianca being on the school board was such a good joke for me. That was, like, one of the moments that I really laughed out loud. Because I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Yeah, she should be on the board of education, for sure.
I wonder, you know, and this is, again, not this movie at all, but I wonder if there's somebody who, like, voted her, like, you know, a fellow board member was just like, I'm the Bianca whisperer, and, like, I'm going to get a second vote if she, like, I can be like, oh, no, though, Bianca agrees with me. Like, we know, she wants to vote with me. And, like, I wonder if there's any kind of, like, manipulation there or whatever. But, you know, that was wonderful. But it also feels like when he says that to her, when he says it to Margot, he's just like, we can't because she's got this thing. It seems like he's kind of like, you know, reverting back into his shell. But he's like, well, but I could go.
Yeah, he's like, but after it's over, like, I could drop her off and I could go.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's the first glimmer we get that he wants to be, like, a person on his own.
And then we had the moment where, like, it was the closest to me being like, oh God, this is going to break bad. Because they go to the bowling alley and they have a really nice, really sweet time.
I thought it was going to be two. I was so nervous. I thought this was going to be the... Yep, I'm right with you.
We see Gus's, you know, his brother's co-workers are there.
Who were kind of making fun of him. Like, they were making fun of the brother about it when we saw them last.
Yes.
So.
In retrospect, it's not like they're making... They're not, like, being, like, assholes. They're just, like, they're basically being, like, you know, what you were saying. Like, I can't not make jokes about this. They show up and, like, you know, the bowling alley is full.
And they're like, wait, there's Lars. Like, let's go chill with him. And I was like, oh God. No. I thought they were gonna show up drunk and, like, beat him up or something.
Or just, like, you know, like, be the ones who, like, vocalize, like, oh, you know, she's not real. What are you, kind of some, like, you know, retard idiot? Or, you know what I mean? Just, like the small town, blue collar, stereotypical, just, like, assholes to him.
I thought that they were going to do that. Or they're going to be like, where's your fake girlfriend at? You have a real girlfriend
they
now?
Just
like,
have
anything.
The best night. And it's like, what?
No,
like,
they just bowl.
What is this movie?
Yeah, dude. The best small town ever. They're just like, yeah, dude, cool. Like, let's hang out. And they just, like, drink beer and, like, bowl. And Gosling realizes that he's not the only bad one at bowling because they suck too. And it's just, like, a very communal thing. And he's like, wow, this is awesome. And you see, like, Gosling, like, smile and high-five people. And, yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Even when the music cue kicked in, like, it's, like, this upbeat, you know, happy music. I was like, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, you know, this is going to break bad. And I'm like, oh, it didn't. I also do love that Gosling is using a bright pink 14-pound bowling ball. It's just, like, this, like, very, like, specific choice. Like, this is my bowling ball.
Yeah, it's the one you like, man. Gotta pick the one you like.
He gives Margot a handshake goodbye, but he also comes clean. You know, I think, like Margot's sort of curious, and rightfully so, like, so what's going on with you and Bianca? And he kind of reads it as, like, I'm still in a relationship with her, and a man doesn't cheat on his woman. And she's like, oh, no, like, that's not what I'm asking. Like, you know, there's a guy out there for me. Like, I know that, you know, I don't want to steal another man.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not a homewrecker.
Right.
I would steal another woman's man.
Not quite a mixed boyfriend material moment, but it's kind of like a, you know, he's being very loyal and sweet to Bianca, but also in his mind, you know, if he has really gone on this, you know, emotional growth, he's sort of rebuffing in a sense, and maybe, you know, not like permanently off-putting, but, you know, this real woman, right, where he's, again, choosing the doll over the woman, so, like, it's this sort of, like, oh, like, if you really wanted to grow here, you would know, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, maybe we try this again or something, you know what I mean? But it feels
he's not ready for it yet. No, but he's selling his honor to her.
And, like, he is a man that he's, who will fight for her honor.
Exactly. No, I'm saying that he, if you look at it through my perspective again, that it's all conduit for him.
Yep.
He's showing, first of all, he can't get rejected if he set, if he comes out first and says, I won't cheat on Bianca.
Right.
Like, he can't say, I like you. He's kind of feeling her out, right? And two, he's saying, like, no, I would never cheat on my woman. A man doesn't do that. And stuff like that is also showing her that he's a good guy, trying to get her reaction from that, too. That's why I think, I don't think that he, I think that he's so, he's smart in this movie. And he's doing, like, simple things to just feel people out, as opposed to him being, like, delusional and believing that this is real.
As we continue to discuss, I think that's more and more plausible. And then we have, you know, it's not quite, I don't think, as good as the Scream and all Goss things, but we have what might be on the Mount Rushmore of Gosling screams, where he finds Bianca is like non-responsive in the morning, and he's like,
oh my God,
screaming at her to wake up, brother and sister, like in a panic, like what is happening.
And his sister goes, call 911, and the brother's like,
911?
Really? Like, 911? And she's like, well, I don't know what else to do. Like,
but then the ambulance shows up, and they bring it to the hospital. They're like, get that one doctor. Like, get the one doctor that we know.
Yeah.
And, you know, things, again, things just sort of work out in this town. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, it's a small town, so they find the doctor, and then they're like, Bianca's doing really bad. And the sister's like, no, she's not. Like, she's fine.
And it seems like at this point, like, you know, the sister is more, not more invested in Bianca, but like, oh, like, I can't, Gosling is sort of starting to see life without Bianca.
Yes,
he is. And it feels like maybe because, and we don't know much about the pregnancy at all or whatever, but it feels like maybe, you know, as this uncertainty in her life is about to come in, like with the baby.
Yeah.
I think she's like, I can't imagine a world without Bianca. I don't want to imagine.
Well, because to her, losing Bianca means losing him.
Yes.
Because she's like, oh, if we kill off Bianca, she's thinking he might go back to being like a hermit in the garage. And she likes that he's like come out, like, you know, has been a real person lately.
As much as I like that she is sort of almost from the jump, like immediately like accepting and like being like, this is a good thing. I love the growth that Gus goes through, that the brother goes through. Because like,
yes,
he could not be like, it feels like of all the, if we were ranking, power ranking of the town, how accepting they are, like he is definitely in the bottom like 10%. Like he is just not.
He's not on board at the beginning at all. Not
and
even
maybe
close.
You know, maybe it's seen something like this before with his brother. I don't know, but it's just like by the end of the movie, you know, he's still not fully on board, but like he's comes a long way to toward, you know, accepting both Bianca and also like what this actually means for his brother.
Yes, exactly. Because you see the subcosms of like what's happening, that like his brother like comes and talks to them and hangs out and wants to like bullshit. Like it's awesome. So my thing was, the sister was so confused why Bianca was like so sick, right? And then she goes to the doctor and she's like, why did you do this? And the doctor's like, I'm not making any of these decisions. Like, he's the one who told me that Bianca was really sick. Like, he found her like not breathing, so like he's trying to kill off Bianca, not me. And like I can't believe how that was like a surprise to the sister. But I like that Goss like instantly was like, oh, I might have a connection with this girl at work who I've been avoiding forever. And then it's like, Bianca gotta go, man. It just like kills her off. It was awesome. It was very well played. He's like, I would never cheat on my girlfriend. She's like, I know. And he's like, okay, but if she dies,
yeah,
that's fine.
The town responds so sweetly, so well. Like they send like an entire porch full of like flowers and cards and food and get well soon. And then,
and the ladies come to sit. That was like one of the cutest parts of the movie for me, that they're all just like knitting in his living room, and they had sent the couple, the brother and sister to go to the movies. And they're like, he's like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, it's a time of need. Like, we came for you just to sit.
When it's a tragedy, you know, that's what we do. We sit. They just want him to eat. Like, I feel like that's a kind of a break for everybody. Like, it's there. They're there for Gosling, but they're also like, I can't imagine what, you know, the brother and sister are going through. Like, we need to get them out of the house, because, like, it's bad enough, like, in a real tragedy, like, where, like, they need to get their mind off things, right? But it's also like, this is not quite a tragedy.
Yeah.
But we need to treat it like it is. And so we just need them to, like, not deal with this for a couple hours.
Yeah, and it's a very sweet thing. That's a very caring move for everyone, I agree. But yeah, they just feed him, and him sitting there like a little boy with just, like, the plate, and they're like, he's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, just eat. Yeah, it was great. That was one of my favorite scenes of the movie.
And then Bianca dies.
Yeah, then Then she goes, man.
The doll had 9 different faces in this movie that went from being, like, the heavily made-up, you know, like, sex doll face to, like, a more natural... Like, we see at one point, like, Emily Mortimer wiping makeup, like, wiping lipstick off Bianca's face and, like, making her more natural, more real, I guess.
Yeah.
And then as the movie actually gets sicker and sicker, they become, like, a little bit more green, like, tinged with green.
So yeah.
9 different faces that they cycle through in this movie.
I wonder if they had to buy 9 sex dolls or you can just replace the faces.
I would imagine you could probably replace the faces. I don't know, but I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either. That's what I'm saying.
Where'd the budget go for this movie? Oh, well, you know, we paid Gosling, you know, a couple $1 million. We paid everybody else their salaries, and we spent like $50,000 on sex dolls. And
maybe they did the Fast and the Furious thing where they had like the Hero 1 doll, and then they just like then they had like a bunch of like Barbies that they just took really good close ups of for the rest of it. You know, you haven't been watching those movies, but the guy who like sourced all the cars for the first Fast and the Furious is he like talks about how like they had like one real car, right? And that's like they rented it from someone, and then they just made like a bunch of copies of it for like stunts and stuff like that. So I'm imagining that there's like one real doll and then just like a bunch of like you know plasti dip Barbies or something weird.
Maybe when they're giving Bianca a bath, like we just see like Bianca's like butt sticking out of the water, and like I don't know if you're gonna like put the real I'm sure that they're made for that, like they're they can withstand anything, but it's also like I don't know if like basically the star of our movie, if we should put her in water just on the off chance that like it doesn't work right.
But you could just buy another one. I think it's the best thing ever. It's like, if they fucked it up, they'd just be like, oh shit, we have to get a new Bianca. God damn it.
But then you gotta like, delay shooting. Like, you gotta get custom made. I don't know. There's probably a lot.
I think that was an off-the-shelf one.
I mean, like I said, they ordered it without genitalia. Like, unless there's those off-the-shelf, I don't know.
I think so. I think you can. I think you can just, like... I think that they have some that are just pre-boxed, just ready to go.
Right before she dies, they go to the lake, and he, like, silently sobs and kisses, basically kisses her goodbye. And I wanted to find that image. Like, you know, I found, like, the episode art for this is the terrific production stills. Like, basically, like, they look like they went to, like, Kmart in
Sears.
The 80s, right?
Sears, Sears. Yeah.
And, like, took, like, these, you know, couples portraits, which are just incredible. But I really wanted to find the picture, and I couldn't find that on Google, of him, like, just, like, their faces filling the frame, and him just, like, silently sobbing and kissing her goodbye.
Does he drown her?
It looks like he does.
I think she gets sick, and then he, like, finds her in the water, right? Like...
We cut to the brother and sister, like, across the lake, and they look over. They're like, oh, no, something's going on. And they race over there, then we go to the funeral. So I don't know exactly what happened, but it didn't seem like either... You know, like, she drowned herself, or she just died in the water, or he killed her, but I don't know. But, like, that, it feels like if he killed her, it's too much too soon, kind of?
Yeah, I wonder if the town police would have arrested him if he killed her. Like, how far are we playing into this?
So now you have to find a judge who's, like, willing to, like, sentence him to prison, and they have to have prison inmates who, like, treat him like a real, like, be like, oh yeah, he murdered his girlfriend, but she's a doll,
same.
So just keep that in mind.
That's what I'm saying,
man. And then you gotta find a parole officer who, like, goes along with the two. Like, this guy's lived the hard life, man. And then you have to find, like, a job, like, a business, small business owner. And that's where you can bring him back into town. Like, you know, the woman who gave Bianca a job can now give Gosling a job, too. But, like...
Yeah, he, like, works at the hardware store.
Where does it end?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Because imagine if he was like, what do you mean? I murdered her. How am I not in trouble? You're like, God damn it.
They'd say thank you to the doctor. Gosling says to Margot at the end before, you know, they go for a walk. She asked me not to be sad, but I can't help it. I'll get better with time. That's what everybody keeps saying. So he feels like he's saying the right things. Like, he's saying, like, the funeral platitudes, not because he knows them, but, like, because people are like, oh, no, like, you'll be okay. Like, he's just sort of, like, echoing, like, I'm going to be okay because people say I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, you know, it works.
It happens, yeah.
That's the movie.
It was a good movie. I like that one a lot.
Again, not that all Gosling's was bad, but it was worse than the other movies, and I feel like the last two that we've done, because, you know, since we started recording these again more recently, like, we had the one that was okay, and we had, like, two really great ones in a row.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're just sort of, like, on a little bit of a tear right here.
I agree. Yeah, we're on a good run.
Anything else about the movie before we go on to the games and stuff that we, you know, that you want to talk about that we didn't cover?
I think we covered everything. We did a good job.
Well, Joe, let us find out then. What Ryan Gosling had in his hands. Hey, Gos, what's in your hands?
Oh.
Bianca, of course.
Bianca. Bowling ball.
Bowling ball. He's got a toys in church.
Toys in church. A phone. He definitely uses a phone.
Oh, yeah, when Emily Mortimer calls him, and he's so, like, tender, sweet. Oh, one of the things I wrote down that I forgot about this is that after church at the very beginning, this old lady gives him a flower. It might be the old lady who, like, is there to walk, and she gives him a flower. Margot comes up to him and says hi, and he, like, violently whips the flower away and runs away. You know, I don't want to make fun of him for, like, not knowing how to, like, deal with the world. Just the way that he reacts with it is just so funny that, like, he's just like, oh, I can't, like, I don't know if it's, like, you know, I'm cheating on, like, not that I'm cheating on this girl, because I'm, like, we're not in a relationship, but, like, I can't, like, I'm caught between two women, like, just doesn't know how to react.
Yeah.
And, like, so, like, the flower in his hands, but, like, he just whips it away and then runs away. And it's like, oh, man, like, it's okay. It's okay, buddy.
Yeah, I agree.
In that montage, there's the toothbrush and the comb and the nice sweater.
That's true. The steering wheel. He drives a lot.
Sure. You know, is this? Do you think this is a prequel to the movie Drive?
Yeah, it is. He's in love with the real doll and then becomes a stunt driver.
Well, a real hero and a real human being. I mean...
Oh, that's true.
This is a prequel to Drive.
Maybe, yeah.
He doesn't play any instruments in this. This is not quite, but I mean, what this was sort of inspired by, the what instruments has he been playing. But he does sing to her, which is, you know, we talked about that before, but he doesn't play any instruments, but he does sing to her. And he doesn't have to sing goofy like he does in Blue Valentine. Like, he sings sort of sweetly.
I agree, yeah.
What else is in his hands? Oh, he's got a hymnal at one point when they're singing in church.
Yeah. I think that's it, man. That's all I had.
Oh, the other thing that I wrote down was at one point when they are... I think it's right after she rejects his marriage proposal and they go out to the woods and they're, like, sitting by a lake or something. He pulls out a blade of grass and does, like, that duck whistle with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I loved doing that as a kid.
Nobody ever taught me. I just sort of, like, tried to learn on my own. I could not. Pre-internet. Did not know how to do it.
Next time I'm around, I can teach you how to do it.
Okay. I think that's everything that I got in his hands. I think that was a pretty good run-through.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Lars and the Real Girl trailer. This one, Joe, keep this in mind for the Letterboxd game. I don't want to bias you, but this has over 1 million views on YouTube.
Okay.
So if you search Lars and the Real Girl trailer, official trailer number one, Ryan Gosling movie 2007, posted by Movie Clips Classic Trailers.
We use Movie Clips a lot, huh?
Yeah, I think they're just the ones who, like, archived, like, sort of, not, like, YouTube was obviously around, but I feel like before, or maybe, like, things got taken down, like, I feel like they're sort of the preservers of promotional materials from the past.
Yeah, maybe. Let me see. I'm loading this guy up. I should be good.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Are you gay?
No.
Did he say, are you gay?
Yeah. She's like, because remember, she's like, my grandson's gay. I know all about it. It's totally fine.
Oh. Here we go.
That was very early. Yeah.
With the flowers. The flower.
Maybe he wants to be left alone.
Yeah, won't eat a cereal.
Oh, we haven't talked about his, like, wonderful mustache or his, like, you know, long flowing hair in this movie.
It's so bad.
Where did you meet
but I love
this
it.
Person?
I met her on the internet.
Yeah, well,
he met her on the internet.
Now.
There you go. Lots of people are dating
Even
on the internet.
12 years ago, I guess, you know, everybody was doing that now. And here we are, 30 seconds of the trailer, and Bianca shows up.
Yeah, yep. Bianca's a missionary.
I would love to have been in this room. I wonder if Gosling was played it real serious or he was, like, laughing.
If I may. He appears to have a delusion.
What the hell is he
reads
doing
to
with
her.
A delusion?
It's in the dusk.
She loves kids.
Yeah.
Fantastic. When will it be over?
When he doesn't need it anymore.
I feel like this trailer also, you know, it's kind of like, is this a comedy or not? It's kind of like the indie quirky comedy where it's like, it's, you know, you're going to cry, but you're also going to laugh a little bit.
Go along with it.
Exactly.
This must be Bianca. Well, welcome.
Brings her to the party. Oh, yeah, they shake hands. He can touch her finally.
Chances are he's been decompensating for some time.
Toothbrush in his hand.
I love Bianca falling over when she goes to bed for the first time.
What's the big deal?
She's a missionary. That's good, isn't it?
She's a missionary.
I was thinking that maybe we could all go out.
Oh, the bowling dance. I forgot about the bowling dance.
She's cute.
Yeah, she is.
We didn't talk about how Gosling's first throw. I mean, you said he wasn't good at bowling, but, like, his first throw is he throws the gutter ball in the next lane over.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, also, I loved him saying that Bianca, like, you should see me chop wood. I'm really good at it.
Oh, really? I missed that. He says it to Bianca. He goes, mm-hmm. You should see me chop wood. I'm really good at it.
I didn't know what. That you were a man.
Yeah, how did you know you were a man? Here he's talking with his brother. Right. And
not what's right. This trailer essentially is the movie. Like, this is not...
Yeah, this is pretty ruining. I did like his answer to that, though. He's like, it's when you do good because you have to, not because you want to or something.
Or, no, is it the other way around? Because you want to, not because you have to?
No, it was more of, like, that you take the responsibilities.
Okay.
Like, Yeah, he was like, when you do the best thing possible, not because it's easy, but because you know you have to. Yeah, it was along those lines.
Gotcha. So we're going to go to Google Game, which is where you try to get the autocomplete. And I was doing last night, you know, Lars and the Real Girl. I was saying that they found, like, in German, it's like Lars
and the Girl.
And the Woman. And then in Spanish, it's Lars and the Girl of Truth. Something like that. So Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Doll.
Nope. Lars and the Real Girl.
Mustache.
Ryan Gosling. No, it's just, the only thing is Interview and Singing. There's nothing.
Oh, lame.
We had such good ones after Blue Valentine, and this one, just, you know,
jeez.
Unfortunately. All right, Joe, we're going to go to Letterboxd. Okay. For reference sake, Mad Max Fury Road has been seen by 372,000 people. Okay?
Yeah.
Lars and the Real Girl, 2007, directed by Craig Gillespie. What else did this guy direct? Oh, he did I, Tonya, which just came out.
Okay.
He also did that Fright Night remake, and he did that Million Dollar Arm movie where John Hamm is that guy from the Pirates organization who goes to India to find the cricket players. Do you remember?
Ah, yeah.
Wait, is Emma Stone playing Cruella de Vil? Oh, boy. This guy's directing that. Here's a picture of her.
Oh, she looks good.
Directed by Craig Gillespie, Ryan Gosling, Emily Mortimer, Paul Schneider, and Kelly Garner. Average score, 3.7, so very high.
I'm going to guess.
How many people have seen Lars and the Real Girl?
15,750.
Higher.
Really? I thought that was a really high guess. 27,350.
I feel like you're not compensating enough for the way that Letterboxd loves Gosling. Higher.
I 47,000.
Higher.
58.
56,542.
Yeah, I apparently don't. I completely underestimate. Because, like, this is a movie that I don't think that, like, anyone I know has seen. You know what I mean?
But again, you're not friends with, like, high school girls who, like to cry on Letterboxd.
Apparently not, yeah.
Because you used to be, like, Kobe. Like, you used to be, like, incredible at this. And then the last couple with Gosling, you have just. I think maybe. I'm going to chalk most of it up just to the fact that, like, we don't do this for Too Fast, Too Forever. So you're kind of out of the game a little bit there. But, you know, this and Blue Valentine, like, not even in the ballpark, really. Not throwing shade at you, because, you know,
it's
you're still way better at this than I am. But Gosling, immensely popular on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So there's 56,000 people, average score of 3.7. How many have this in their top four?
100.
Higher.
Really? 250.
190.
Jeez, that's a lot.
Okay, we can get this.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know if actually we can get this. Hold on. I'm trying to find an account now with it in their top four that we can get everyone, or you can guess all four, or a lot of them at least. Okay, we're going to try this one. We're going to see, Cat at Halperts on Letterboxd. Okay. 5 stars. I don't know where to put here other than I trust Ryan Gosling with my whole life, and Lars deserves the world. Side note, I feel like 5 stars is a very high rating for this, but also anything less would have been daylight robbery. Okay.
Okay.
And then I love this movie with my whole heart. Sad Face was her second review. So she's from the UK. She's Olds Fashioned on Twitter. Oh, that doesn't exist anymore. Lars and the Real Girl is her number one favorite film. Recently, she saw Toy Story 4, Spider-Man Far From Home, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, and Booksmart, all of which she gave 4 stars to.
Cool.
So, her top four, there's another Gosling movie that we've talked about in this episode.
Not La La Land.
Nope.
Blue Valentine?
Nope.
Another Gosling movie we talked about. Drive.
What was I joking? Drive. Yep, number three.
Okay.
Number two is in the same universe as the most popular movies that we ever play in this game, but it's not one that's too common. It's a newer one. I don't know if, is this, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I'm guessing you're going to go like Ant-Man and the Wasp or something.
No, but you're right there. You're close.
Captain Marvel.
Nope.
Not the new Spider-Man.
Nope.
Thor Ragnarok.
There you go, number two.
That's a great movie, by the way.
And then number four, the only one that you haven't guessed yet, you know this movie. I would guess you've seen this movie, though. I don't know if we've ever talked about it. Think about the type of movie that this is, like this like indie darling, this, you know, indie art house. What's a movie, a very famous movie, like maybe one of the first in the 2000s that really sort of got like real widespread acclaim that's similar, not like in plot, but like the sort of the type of movie that this is?
Donnie Darko.
No. More recent than that. And I don't know if this is going to be a movie that's like on your brain or not.
I don't know. You got to give me some more than that.
It came out in 2006. It stars Abigail Breslin.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
It stars Toni Collette, who is the mom in Hereditary. Steve Carell, Paul Dano, Greg Kinnear, Alan Arkin, Bryan Cranston.
I don't know. What's the movie?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Ah, okay.
Like, I feel like that was right in that window where people were
like,
indie movies are, like, good now.
Yeah.
Like, they can be fun. Like, we're going to cry, but they can be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Fire-ass title. So if we are turning Lars and the Real Girl into the most basic High School Musical version of what this movie could be called, We got Gaz in The Real Girl.
Gaz in The Real Girl, for sure.
And Lars in The Real Gaz.
I just want to go based on the old HBO semi-porn show, Real Sex.
Oh, that was very formative in my youth. Just Real Doll.
Real Doll. Mail Order Bride.
Or just Mail Order.
Yeah.
You could just do Lars and the Woman. Or Lars and the Girl of Truth.
Lars and the Girl of Truth. Yeah, that's true. The Town.
Not the Ben Affleck movie.
Exactly. The Doctor.
Okay. Therapy.
Opening Up.
I like that one. That feels like, you know, a lot of the titles that we do for this game, like, would never be a movie title, but I feel like that would be a movie title.
Well, I don't think you can have a movie called Opening Up about a sex doll, though.
That would also, I was thinking, would be the exact name of the porn parody, too.
Oh, yeah. In the porn parody, is the doll a doll, or is it a real girl? Because I would imagine it's a porn star.
I would imagine it's a porn star acting like a doll.
I agree. That's what I would think, too. Yeah.
And maybe she gains sentience.
Yeah, maybe.
Or what if in the porn parody, like, it's just the doll, the guy is a doll?
Oh, what if they're both dolls in the porn parody?
And it's like a puppet show?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have porn stars, like, in, like, all black, like you know, beautifully, like, toned bodies, but just, like, in a green man suit, but all black. Like, you just see, like, you know, the curves and the muscles and everything, and they're just, like, manipulating the dolls behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining.
What else could this be called? Life with Bianca, or just Bianca.
Bianca was a great name. The Missionary.
Oh, I think Missionary is, like, just because the position.
Missionary,
but also,
exactly. Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
I think we have to end there, because that's Il Boche, chef's kiss. Let us pick. What's your pick for the most boyfriend material moment in this movie?
I think when he says he would never cheat on Bianca.
Okay.
For me. Because I think that's the most boyfriend material thing he could do. He's talking to another girl. He's like, I can't do it. I won't cheat on my woman.
I'm going to just go with, we talked about it earlier, I'm going to go with the date in the woods where he piggyback sings carries her out there and then sings to her. One. Like,
yep.
You know, it's just like, it's kind of a perfect afternoon.
It is.
Also,
yeah,
that reminds me now, and I can't believe that I haven't mentioned it in the first, you know, hour or whatever of this podcast, but there was that movie that came out a couple years ago, Swiss Army Man, with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe, where Daniel Radcliffe plays a corpse, like a lifeless body, and it's sort of in a way like this, where he just, you know, they're out in the wilderness, and he bonds with this guy, right? Like, he's dealing with emotional grief, and he sort of finds, like, salvation through Daniel Radcliffe. Have you seen that movie or no?
No, I haven't.
I think you would love it. Okay. I think. Maybe not, but I think so. But it just reminds me of that. So,
I can't unsee Harry Potter from him, so I'm kind of locked in that.
I get it, but yeah. He's so good in other things. Least boyfriend material moment. I feel like he's kind of on brand here for most of it. Like, he's not really...
I think when he kills Bianca to date the other girl, that's pretty, like, Lee's boyfriendy. That's
true.
Like, that's nearly a fucking Robert Durst moment. He's like, I won't cheat on my girlfriend, so he just kills her off in the next day.
What did I do? Kill all the dolls, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to go with, you know, just because to have a different answer, I'll go with him yelling at her for standing him up playing Scrabble.
Yeah.
He's rightfully angry that she wasn't there, but at the same time, let her live her own life, man.
Exactly. I agree.
So now, Joe, when we recorded the last episode, you guessed the most and least boyfriend material moments. So you knew, after we were done, that it was about a sex doll, but you did not know this before going in. So here's what you said.
No.
Most boyfriend material moment. The movie's about a relationship between a man and a sex robot. He's in love with it. So I'm going to give you 3/4 of a point, not a robot, but also, because I said after the fact, like, what else could Lars and the Real Girl possibly be about? But I'll still give you
no idea.
Almost
yeah.
A full point. The most boyfriend material moment or thing he does is he's so worried about people not accepting his relationship with it. She's super futuristic. It's kind of like Blade Runner. He takes her to dinner one time. Everyone's staring. He says, he doesn't care. I love you. He takes her out of the house. Again, not perfectly right, but a lot of that is right. I'll give you like a, say 2 points in total for that. Not bad.
Okay.
Least boyfriend material moment, I'm also willing to give you the points there because 0 points here. They get into a fight once, he takes out her battery and has sex with her without the battery.
Yeah, we don't think he ever fucks Bianca.
Also, she's not battery powered, but...
True.
I also do like, you know, and she's like this super futuristic sex robot in your idea, but she's still battery powered.
What is she going to be, nuclear powered?
Solar powered, I don't know.
Okay.
So now, Joe, the next movie that we're doing, that we're talking about next week, is Fracture, which I told you, and I don't remember exactly what it is, but I know that's a lawyer movie, and I don't remember if he's a lawyer or Anthony Hopkins is a lawyer or whatever, but it's him and Anthony Hopkins, and it's a lawyer movie of some kind, and also, in case this helps, my dad loves this movie.
Yes.
So what do you think the movie called Fracture is about? What are the most and least boyfriend material moments.
I know you said it's about lawyers, but this movie's definitely about fracking. They're coal miners. Ryan Gosling and Anthony Hopkins get trapped in a mine.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling figures out Anthony Hopkins is gay, but he's never admitted it to anybody else. He was married. He had kids. He just comes out to Ryan Gosling because they're trapped in this mine.
Okay.
And the most boyfriend material moment, Ryan Gosling just sucks Anthony Hopkins' dick because he's like, I know that you've never experienced this before. And even though Ryan Gosling's straight, he does it.
Okay. The least boyfriend material moment.
They get out of the cave, and Anthony Hopkins like, thank you for helping me experience that. And Ryan Gosling goes, ha! And just laughs at him and walks away.
That's a
bummer. Then makes out with a girl right in front of him.
Okay.
And like winks at him while he's making out with her.
That's a sad movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's based about the coal miners, but then also they're really... It's like Brokeback Mountain and a coal mine or something.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, absolutely right. I can't believe that you saw through my ruse. It's not actually about lawyers at all. It's actually about fracking.
Exactly.
And homoeroticism 100 yards under the earth or whatever.
Exactly. That's what it's about.
You're just too smart, Joe. You're too good at the game. You're too good at seeing through the bullshit. You got it.
You're trying to throw me for a loop. There's probably a lawyer in there somewhere that like needs to like figure out if they get sued because they're in the mine trapped or something.
But yeah. As you're listening to this, or at least as we're recording, it's about a month before you listen to it. Fracture is on Netflix. Lars and the Real Girl is on Amazon. So if you want to watch either of those and you have those accounts, you can do that for free. They're there. I don't know if Hef Nelson. I don't know if the ones beyond that are as available, but
yeah,
Lars and the Real Girl, both Blue Valentine and Fracture on Netflix and Lars and the Real Girl on Amazon Prime. So if you want to watch along with us or just watch the movie, you can do that basically for free. Like, it's not really for free, but it's for free. So we've got one more thing to do for Lars and the Real Girl. We have to nominate it for some awards.
Okay.
Best film? I'm going to say yes for now. I mean, it might be one of the first ones
to
cut, but I think for now.
Yeah, but I'll allow it.
Best Gosling role? Yes or no?
Yeah, I like his creepy mustache. I do think this is probably one of the hardest roles he had to play so far.
I almost asked what's his name, but it's, you know, Lars. It's Lars. Most boyfriend material caliber role? I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Most fun film, I'll say yes.
Fair.
Because it's unlike anything in this. Best song, do you want to nominate the Frank Sinatra L-O-V-E?
No.
Best soundtrack score, no. Cinematography, no. Costumes, maybe, it's not really for Gosling, but it's kind of for Bianca.
Is it by person, or is it just by movie?
We have it by movie, but you also, when we did All Good Things, All Gos Things, you said specifically him as a woman, so... I'll put it here, Bianca.
Okay, that works.
Best hair, no. Worst hair?
Maybe, yeah. What about Bianca's hair? Can Bianca have best hair?
Well, we have best Ryan Gosling hair, so unfortunately she is ineligible for the category.
Damn.
Best love story, I'm going to say, yeah, Lars and Bianca.
Fair.
Best scream, when she gets sick, right?
That's a good one. Yeah, I'll take it.
Best cry at Bianca's funeral.
This is just going to run away with a bunch of awards, huh?
I don't know if it's going to win anything, but it's going to be nominated for a bunch. Best punch in the face. I don't think he gets punched in the face in this movie. I think everybody's just too kind, right?
Yeah.
Best instrument played, no. Job of a cubicle guy, no. Best dancing scenes. There's a couple dancing scenes. There's the one where he's slow dancing by himself as the receptionist husband is dancing with Bianca in the wheelchair. But I also do like, and I don't think we talked about this yet, there's a scene where Emily Mortimer is looking out her window into the window of the garage.
And they're dancing.
And he's like silently slow dancing with her.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
All right, I'll leave it off.
Yeah.
Last category, best or best non-Gos role, male or female?
Bianca.
The real doll as Bianca?
Yes, for sure.
All right, Joe, so we have 10 nominees. For now, at least, best film, best role, most boyfriend material caliber role, most fun film, best costumes. For Bianca, worst hair, best love story, best scream, best cry, best non-Gos role female for Bianca.
I love it. Perfect.
Any other thoughts about Lars and the Real Girl, the girl of truth, or do you want to just come back next week for Fracture?
Come back next week for Fracture. I think we covered all that we could talk about with Lars.
Cool. Well, so this is now a weekly podcast as we burn through the rest of these, but go check out our Too Fast, Too Forever podcast, which will be our forever home every other Tuesday. We'll put out a new movie or new episode about the Fast and Furious movies. Again, not really about those movies, just more about like this kind of nonsense framed within that world. Also check out our Zac Efron podcast, Zac Attack, and our Channing Tatum podcast, Magic Mike. Find all 25 of our network shows at cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, or at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram. Email boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me, and come back next week for Fracture. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And we'll see you next episode right here on Boyfriend Material.
As for the way you look at me, always for thee.
is very, very extraordinary. Is even more than anyone that you adore and love. Is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Ooh.
You should watch me chop wood, too. I'm really good at it.